Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
I am doing well. How are you? You good?
I'm great, man. Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Excellent. Thank you.
Good.
So I dropped the ball pretty hardcore on this. I didn't call you 5 days ago when I said I would call you the next day.
Oh, you're fine. No worries.
Oh, man. So how's it going? How was the beach?
The beach was amazing.
Aw. Was it your whole family down there? Who went to the beach?
Just my wife and I, and we went with Kevin and his wife, and Kevin, Stephanie, and Amanda and I went. We go the third week of July every year, we go somewhere on vacation in the Caribbean.
Okay, this is an ongoing thing here.
Oh, yeah.
Love it. Well, people should already know who you are, but why don't you go ahead and just tell us who you are and what you do?
My name's Jason James. I'm the superintendent of Ellick Public Schools, which is right here in the heart of Grady County. Little small K-12 school with about 350 kids in right here in the heart of Grady County.
And give us your backstory in EDU. I don't know if I've ever asked you that question.
Well, I got my Bachelor of Science degree in science education from Oklahoma State University. Went to typical science teacher / football coach. Got my master's degree from East Central University. Got into administration and stint in the classroom teaching biology and physical science, good administration, worked my way around, got my first central office job at Clinton Public Schools under Jason Sternberger, gave me the opportunity to do that, and then Kevin Heim came in, and from the tutelage of those two people, I was able to get my first superintendent's job down here in Ellick, Oklahoma.
I love it. And just so you know, people love you. Like, everywhere I go, people are asking about you and how I know you, and people like what you do, just so you know.
Well, thank you.
So, tell me about this chat. What was your intention for it? You've done a couple of leaderships, one before. What made you decide to do leadership, and how did you decide to turn it up the way you did?
Well, to be honest with you, my board of education, they're very active in continuing adult education. So we're very active in the Oklahoma School Boards Association and their conferences and trainings. And through that, we have gotten into going to the National School Board Conference. And if you're a school board member out there, I highly recommend that you go to the National School Board Conference because, first off, next year it's held in Philadelphia. So how often you get to go chance to hang out in Philadelphia?
Right.
But it's probably somewhere between 6,000 and 12,000 people converge on a city with a singular background of commonality in public education. And you sit there in the hotel lobby and you're eating breakfast and you're in the hotel bar unwinding after a long day, and there's somebody from Virginia or North Carolina or Wyoming or New York or Texas, and they've got the same problems that you're going through, and you get to bounce ideas off, and, hey, we went through that last year, and this is what we did. And so it's just an amazing thing. But at that school board conference, there's a guy that talks that I'm a huge fan of, and that's Doug Reeves. Doug Reeves talking about improving school through activities that don't cost anything. So we start our conversation there. Our school board brought Doug Reeves down to Ellick, and Doug Reeves did a seminar for Ellick community, our teachers and our staff, and then we opened it up to boards of education and teachers and administrators from around Oklahoma that came in here. The whole weekend after school was out. And Doug does a deal called Courageous Leadership. And he talks about that the high school principal or the site principal has a correlation coefficient of 0.50, which is a strong positive relationship on student achievement. And he talks about how school boards and district superintendents have a 0.25 coefficient, correlation coefficient, which is a positive impact on student achievement. And so we really got into these things, and through listening to Doug Rees, we start getting into Daniel Pink and talking about things that we can do to improve education through policy. And then we get into John Addy, which talks about things that we can give teachers that has these profound impacts on student achievement. And I'm a big old geek and nerd when it comes to that stuff. And so we bought in. The truth be told, while we geared it up the way we geared it up is we're setting, I was supposed to do my questions before I left and I forgot. And so man and I sitting on the beach. Great thing about Cancun, cause you get, we're AT&T customers. So we get, international calling plan didn't cost us anything. And the resort had Wi-Fi, so we were able to sit there. Amanda James, you know, she's 451 Flame 451. And so we bounced these questions off at the beach, sitting under an umbrella staring at the ocean. And we came up with a way. We wanted to be provocative, but we didn't want to be in a way that a person could go after their principal, assistant principal, board member. And so we really wanted to have a chat where we convinced teachers that they were education leaders too, and they made decisions in their classroom that need to be courageous, and principals have to make decisions that need to be courageous, superintendents have to show courageous leadership, and board members have to show courageous leadership, and so does Joy Hoffmeister and all of our representatives and the governor, and going right into the election. Courageous leadership just sounded like something what we need to talk about.
I thought you were very bold in the way you put that framework of the questions together, because there was no nitpicking. There was no finger pointing. You did a great job. So my favorite question was about the initiative fatigue, but I want to ask you not about that one. I want to ask you about how you handle influential stakeholders who create negative atmospheres. What does Jason James do in his school when somebody threatens his position or his leadership, but they are a key stakeholder?
Well, I tell you what, the key is, I'm a relational guy. So I tell everybody that you have to make relational deposits. I call them, everybody's got a bank account. Every relationship has a bank account. And you're all the time either making deposits or you're making withdrawals. And you have to make sure that as a school leader is that you have really good relationships with key people. So when you need to make a withdrawal, sometimes you just have to make a withdrawal. Sometimes you just have to tell people, says, listen, we disagree on this matter. I appreciate your input. Here's what I'm going to do, and here's why, and I hope you respect that. And just like you said, I was bold and I didn't nitpick in my questions. I think you've got to be bold, and you can't nitpick and beat around the bush when it comes to decisions. I think the hardest part about being a superintendent is we can talk about collaboration all we want, but sometimes you have to step up and lead, and it's your decision. You're the one that has to make the decision. And whether I take input from other people, and when you take input, somebody's going to have an input, have a suggestion that is differing from somebody else. And as a leader, I have to decide what is the best course of action. And through that decision, somebody's idea is going to be left on the drawing board. And I have to have a good enough relationship with that person that they know it's not personal, And it's not the fact that I'm wasting their time. It's that I listened to their counsel and I weighed the options and I made a difficult decision. And I think that after that, the chips have to fall where they may. And if somebody gets their feelings hurt and doesn't want to participate anymore, then that's tragic. But that's not my fault. That's somebody else's action. You know,
yeah.
I need to rebuild that relationship, but I can't just ignore it. Does that make sense?
No, I get it. Yes. Well, was there a question as you're sitting there on the beach under your umbrella with maybe a beach type beverage from the Caribbean? Was there a question that you guys were sitting there thinking, oh, I can't wait to see the answers for this one?
Well, the teachers being courageous leaders was really, really interesting to me. One of the one thing that I really, really enjoyed was the fact that I can't stress this enough when I tell people, sometimes people just have to step up and lead. And I heard somebody talk about this, and I for the life of me can't remember who, but the analogy they used is, could you imagine if in the 60s that we waited for consensus to implement civil rights movement. If we waited to build consensus, would we have equal treatment? Would women vote? Would we have the civil rights movement? Would we have the laws that we have today if we waited around for a majority of Americans to agree is what we needed to do? We would, you know, and that's why sometimes leaders just have to step up and lead, and people are going to get their feelings hurt, and people are going to strongly and passionately disagree, and some people are going to do everything in their power to make your decision fail, but that doesn't mean the decision doesn't need to be made. We talk a lot about. Matter of fact, we learned a lot when you're getting your master's and you're in administration and leadership, that you have to be a change agent. That you have to bring about lifelong change. You have to get consensus and buy-in and get people to change the way they think. But what we're finding out now is that, you know, like Doug Reeves says, it's behavior comes before belief.
Yeah.
You test drive a car before you go buy it. Sometimes you just have to do something before you believe that it's going to work. So at the end of the day, sometimes you just have to step up and lead, and you can't build consensus, and you can't worry about whether or not you're going to be popular, or you can't worry about whether it's going to continue 50 years after you leave. You have to do the best you can with the information that you have, and you have to step up and lead. And I think sometimes one of our biggest problems in the world is that we are so concerned about consensus and buy-in and getting everybody on our side before we act that we're paralyzed through indecision.
Yes. So then on your question about what tough decision would you implement at your school right now as a courageous leader, do you have things you're going to change for next school year?
We do. One of the things that I, like I said, I'm a geek. So when you talk about courageous leadership, it ties right in with what John Hattie says. John Hattie has done a meta-analysis on all these, research studies that he's come up with a mechanism to actually determine how effective reforms are in student achievement. Well, he's actually broken all these reforms down into three categories. There is pre-teaching, what the reforms that you can do before instruction is applied. There are reforms that you can do to the teacher during instruction, and then there's reforms that you can do that takes place after instruction. Well, what we're doing at ELEC next year is we're going to sit down with every teacher at the beginning of the year, and we are going to avoid initiative fatigue, because we don't want initiative fatigue. What we're going to do is we're going to sit down with each teacher one-on-one, and we're going to tell them, okay, pick one. What does your personal improvement goal want to be this year in one of those areas? Okay? Because the research shows that pre-teaching, the most effective reform you can do is the teacher to have high expectations.
Right. Okay?
During instruction, the research shows that the highest effect on student learning is hands-on learning, what they call Piaget in programs. You know, Piaget was the constructivist learning that says you have to be active and doing something to learn. You know, learning is an active process. It's how the brain works.
Yeah.
And then we know that for post instruction, hands down, the number one thing a teacher could do is to provide feedback. You know, and there's an acronym that we're going to use at ELEC called FAST: fair, accurate, specific, and timely. Right?
Wow.
So
good.
If a kid turns in an assignment, our teachers. If they choose this, because we're going to give them, they got to choose one of three. But if they choose post instruction and they choose fast feedback, then they're going to have they're going to sign a contract with our principals that say, if I give a homework assignment or take up a day, if I take up student work, then within 48 hours, I'm going to have it graded, provide feedback, and get it back to them.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yes, and so, but what we're going to do is because we don't want initiative fatigue, I don't want to do all three. We're going to have a meeting face to face with the teacher, and we're going to say, where do you want to improve? Where do you want to work to improve? And then we're going to provide them with resources to improve. And then one of the things that ELEC does very well, and my Board of Education is amazing, but what we do is we have a PD bonus for all our teachers. And if you fulfill your contract with your initiative, then you get $1,000 extra duty bonus on the last day of school.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so not only do we expect our teachers to do something all year, the good thing is our Board of Education is willing to pay them for their efforts.
Put the money where the mouth is, huh?
Yeah, put the money where the mouth is, yep.
Well, Jason, you've already named a few, but who are your heroes in education? And then also, who are your go-to people? Who are the people that sharpens your iron?
Well, I'm going to tell you that there's a lot of them, Aaron, because I tell you that it depends. Like if I want to talk about legislative policy and what's going on a policy level, you know, Schoenheim, hands down. If I want to talk about school funding or how to be a good superintendent, I talk to guys like Kevin Heim, Doug Brown. I talk to Jason Cimarron. I talk to Rick Cobb. One of my go-to guys before he retired was Dr. Joe Siano. You know, just Kyle Reynolds from Woodward. People that I know that are sitting in the same chair that I am at a different place that might have done things. You know, I think it's really hard for people because we all have areas that we want to work on, like communications. I love Christy Watson. Who really helps me with communication. I'd be nowhere if it wasn't for my wife, Amanda James. She's a principal at Walters Elementary. She has a passion that's hard to beat in education when it comes to teaching kids. And she's the one that makes me want to be a better person. So, But I say all that by also saying, my mother was a teacher. So when it's said and done, I feel like my mother was teaching me how to be a good teacher from way back when she was changing my diaper. So those are some of my educational heroes.
I love it. I really love it. You should lead more chats so you and I can talk more often.
Well, Aaron, you can call me anytime you want. We can talk.
You know, I got a job as a principal this year. I actually may be calling you more than you think. What's
Where
that?
Are you gonna be?
Here at Epic.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm staying at the same school, but just moving to a different role. So.
Good. 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 Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Well, it was a pleasure. Sorry I didn't get to call you earlier in the week, but we're caught up now, and we're gonna push this out. Okay.
Not a problem.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.